Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jera Bhutale Sayam Pakadamayam Dadati Sa Pandantikam Vansakapaturu Vyasha Kripa Sindhu Vahi Vyasha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Nama. To frighten us for that very purpose, Devahuti has asked Kapila Muni to speak about adverse fruit of activities, to describe that. We need to be frightened. Frightened of what? Frightened of Maya, getting entangled with Maya, because we tend, and I'm not pointing fingers at others, it's myself also, we tend to play with the bait of Maya, trying to enjoy something of the senses, and we get caught ultimately by the hook. Because of that desire to enjoy and to play with the material energy, to exploit it, to enjoy it, to squeeze pleasure from it, we get caught by the hook of Maya. And without really thinking of what's going to happen, what is the result of that? So this chapter describes two things, basically. And yesterday we heard one of them, the first of them. And that was how we are born into this world with that desire to enjoy, and we try our best to enjoy it. And rather than enjoying, we just have different forms of suffering. And family life is described in relationship to the suffering that it causes. One works very, very hard. Even if that family isn't a human family, one is born into a family, one thinks his species is wonderful. One becomes attached. And in the human family, one works very, very hard, enamored by the wife or the husband and the loving exchanges and the pleasures that that brings, enamored by the children, dreaming, hoping that they're going to bring pleasure and grow up in a particular way and support us when we're old, dreaming like this. And then when we're old, we work hard and we cheat. We cheat and we act adharmically, irreligiously to make money to support our family. Have to support the family. They're depending on you. And then, as a result of that, so much bad karma is accrued. There's a famous story of how the Ramayana was written by whom? Valmiki, yes. And how he was a thief prior to him being the great sage Valmiki. And he would make money for his family by stealing, by plundering. He would rob people. People would be walking in some lonely road. He would come out and threaten to kill them unless they gave money. So he was, who preached to him? Who was it? Was it, huh? Narada Muni. He said, why are you doing this? Getting so much, giving trouble to others, this adharmic way to make money. He said, well, I have to support my family, because in those days they didn't have the dole. That solves all problems, I'm sure. So he said, I'm doing it. But he said, don't you know that you're getting so much karma for this? You're supporting them. You're helping them so much. You're struggling, but you're going to go to hell because of this. They don't care. You're doing it. You're sacrificing for them. What would happen if you asked them to share your impiety, the bad karma you're going to get? And as it turned out, Narada showed him in such a way that he saw that although they were taking the fruit of his work. And Prabhupada actually gives, he quotes something similar. He said, the people who I am robbing and stealing from for to feed them, they're criticizing me for being a thief. Prabhupada quotes that in. But yet they're taking the money and the food, nevertheless. So no one, so Narada showed Valmiki Muni, at that time he wasn't a Muni yet, Valmiki the thief, he showed him that he was working hard accruing the karma to help others, but no one would share the karma with him, the other members of the family, no one would share that with him in exchange. And he realized that he was a fool, that he was being taken advantage of. Because actually that position of wanting to be depended upon, to be that one who is supporting others, that is very pleasurable for a conditioned soul, because that's actually Krishna. No one is actually supporting anyone else. Krishna is supporting everyone. One of Krishna's name is Bhutavrit, which means he is the supporter of all living entities. So when a conditioned soul takes that position, he feels very satisfied, but it's foolish. It's foolish. So when Valmiki understood this, he gave up family life. And Narada had him meditate upon all the people he killed by reciting again and again the word death in Sanskrit, which is mara. So if you say mara, 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 ram, ram, it comes out ram, 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 after a while. So by repeating the name of Ram, he became purified and he became a great sage. So in great responsibility, someone supports the family. And then when he's older, he's rejected, and no one, as Prabhupada said, no one likes old people. And the very people whom one worked his life to support, they're not appreciative, given everything, blood, sweat, tears, everything. And then at the moment of death, they're all crowding around, and they're crying, and you want to tell them things, and you can't. Such misery. And then finally one dies, and then it's not over. The misery doesn't stop. It just gets worse, actually. So here's the description, and the remaining part of this chapter describes that chapter that we just read as the misery of life, and then here's the misery after life, after death. Everyone naturally thinks they're going to go to heaven, but it doesn't work like that. People think they're saved and are going to go to heaven, but they don't realize that the law of karma is there. That what they did, anything selfishly done, carries a reaction to it. And that they have to pay. It is not cheap. It is not cheap to go to the spiritual world. One has to be qualified to go to the spiritual world. Qualified means of the same consciousness as the residents of the spiritual world. Saratad bhava bharata, whatever one's bhava is, whatever one's mood is, one will get that place and we'll see that. We'll see that in these punishments, that before one gets a lower animal's body, gross body, one is trained properly. One's subtle body is made suitable. One's subtle body is forced in a particular, molded, so that he'll get the proper gross body. So one's consciousness will dictates everything. So if one is to go to heaven, one has to have heavenly consciousness, not hellish consciousness. It doesn't work like that. It's not you act like a dog in your life, and then just magically, then you go to some spiritual destination. Because why? You don't want that. You want doggishness. So at death, these people who have earned money in horrible ways, and practically speaking, there's no one who doesn't cheat in the material world to earn some money. They cheat on the taxes, they do this, they do that. There's always, everyone cheats. So at death, the person sees a messenger of the Lord of Death coming before him. Their eyes full of wrath, anger, and in great fear he passes stool and urine as the soul leaves the body, and the body for whom we've worked our whole life just begins decomposing immediately as soon as the soul leaves. But the soul does not die, it goes on, and it carries with it it is covered by the sukshma sarira, the subtle body of mind, intelligence, and false ego, the chitta. So then what happens after he leaves? As a criminal is arrested for punishment by the constables of the state, a person engaged in criminal sense gratification is similarly arrested by the Yamadutas, who bind him by the neck with strong rope and cover his subtle body so that he may undergo severe punishment. So his subtle body has to be protected, otherwise he could not exist. There has to be some degree of protection given to the subtle body, covering. Otherwise the pain and torture would be so great that it would be too much. So Prabhupada explains in his purport. Every living entity is covered by a subtle and gross body. The subtle body is the covering of mind, ego, intelligence, and consciousness. That's chitta, is consciousness. It is said in the scriptures that the constables of Yamaraj cover the subtle body of the culprit and take him to the abode of Yamaraj to be punished in a way that he is able to tolerate. The process of punishment, a little bit later in the purport, is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Formerly, the king's men would take a criminal in a boat to the middle of the river. They would dunk him by grasping a bunch of his hair and thrusting him completely underwater. And when he was almost suffocated, the king's constables would then take him out of the water and allow him to breathe for some time. And then they would again dunk him in the water to suffocate. This sort of punishment is inflicted upon the forgotten soul by Yamaraj, as will be described in the following verses. So, almost to the point of you can't tolerate it anymore, the pain, the torture, and then up. And you think, oh, this is wonderful. And then down again, so much suffering. We have, who is it? I think Prahladananda Swami is fond of telling that little story of the man who's, there's different ways of telling it. The last way I heard it was that a tiger is chasing him and he jumps off a cliff and then he grabs a tree vine or something like that. The same way? Same story? Is that the one he tells? Or someone tells it? And then he sees there's a tiger up there waiting for him. And then there's a tiger right below in case he falls. And then some mouse starting to gnaw on the vine that he's holding onto. And all of a sudden, there's some bees around him. And there's some honey dripping down. So he sticks his tongue out so he can enjoy the sweetness of the honey. So we think that is the most ludicrous thing in the world. There's a tiger up there, there's a tiger down there, it's just a few moments before you're going to die, and you're trying to enjoy the sweetness of the honey. I recently read a book, and they said that was the goal. This is how to deal with life. Even though this is our situation, enjoy that honey. So how much illusion and ignorance you have to be in to think like that. How much you have to forget what the future is. And that's how materialistic people act and think. How could you enjoy the honey knowing in 7 seconds you're going to be ripped to shreds by the sharp teeth and claws of a tiger. How much enjoyment can you have? How much illusion you'd have to be in even to get slightest enjoyment, or even to be thinking like that? So that is being out of the water, so you can breathe for a second, lick a little honey before being plunged in again. And that is the goal. That is material life. That's punishment. That's torture. The next verse. So they're getting the soul. They pulled him out of his body. And then the fun is just to begin. The payback. While carried by the constables of Yamaraj, he is overwhelmed and trembles in their hands. While passing on the road, he is bitten by dogs, and he can remember the sinful activities of his life. He is thus terribly distressed. You remember you did this, you remember you did this, you remember you did this. Some of Srila Prabhupada's purport. While we live in the gross body, such activities of sense gratification are encouraged even by modern government regulations. In every state, all over the world, such activities are encouraged by the government in the form of birth control. Women are supplied pills and they're allowed to go to clinical laboratory to get assistance for abortion. This is going on as a result of sense gratification. What do they call it? The one who are against abortion, they're called pro-life, right? And the ones who are for abortion, what do they call? Choice. We have the freedom to kill or not. We should have that freedom without punishment. But even if they escape the punishment of the state, and even if the state is encouraging it, this is all noted. And then one has to pay. Because after all, it is sinful and cruel to kill for one's own pleasure. Just so one can enjoy and one isn't inconvenienced, we kill. Actually, Prabhupada explains, sex life is meant for begetting a good child. And because people have no control over the senses, and there is no institution to train them to control the senses, the poor fellows fall victim to the criminal offense of sense gratification, and they are punished after death, as described in these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is a very heavy section. This is the punishment section. So in this canto, this is the heaviest part in this sense. And then in the fourth canto, there's a section. And then in the fifth canto, there's a section. Then in the sixth canto, which is entitled Pushanam, or the protection by the Lord, it describes how one can become freed from these type of reactions in the story of Ajamil. Even if one acts horribly, if one takes shelter of Krishna's names, one could be freed, even if one has acted horribly. But to act horribly on the strength of chanting Krishna's name, namno baladyasi papabuddhi navidyate tasya yamahi shuddhi, that is the greatest of offenses. So here's what happens to the soul who's covered by the subtle body, and the subtle body is covered so he doesn't cease to exist. Under the scorching sun, the criminal has to pass through roads of hot sand with forest fires on both sides. He is whipped on the back by the constables because of his inability to walk, and he is afflicted by hunger and thirst. But unfortunately, there is no drinking water, no shelter, and no place for rest on the road. While passing on that road to the abode of Yamaraj, he falls down in fatigue, and sometimes he becomes unconscious. But he is forced to rise again. In this way, he is very quickly brought to the presence of Yamaraj. Thus he has to pass 99,000 yojanas within 2 or 3 moments. And then
He is at once engaged in the torturous punishment which he is destined to suffer.
One yojana is 8 miles, by the way. So 99,000 yojanas. So quickly, because you're dealing on the subtle level. But yet that time is full of torture. There's a way to stabilize this. I think it's, yes.
He is placed in the midst of burning pieces of wood, and his limbs are set on fire. In some cases, he is made to eat his own flesh or have it eaten by others. His entrails are pulled out by hounds, by the hounds and vultures of hell. Even though he is still alive to see it, and he is subjected to torment by serpents, scorpions, gnats, and other creatures that bite him. Next, his limbs are lopped off and torn asunder by elephants. He is hurled down from hilltops, and he is also held captive, either in water or in a cave. Men and women whose lives were built upon indulgence in illicit sex life are put into many kinds of miserable conditions in the hells known as Tamisra, Anda Tamisra, and Rorav. So in contemporary civilization, this is thought of as great, without knowing what the result is. Lord Kapila continued, "My dear mother, it is sometimes said that we experience hell or heaven on this planet, for hellish punishments are sometimes visible on this planet also." From Srila Prabhupada's purport. On the planet of Yamaraj, the sinful man is given the chance to practice living in the hellish conditions which he will have to endure in his next life. And then he is given a chance to take birth on another planet to continue his hellish life. So the subtle body is getting its preparation for his next birth and getting ready for what's going to happen to him by these type of punishments. For example, if a man is to be punished to remain in hell and eat stool and urine, then first of all, he practices such habits on the planet of Yamaraj, and then he is given a particular type of body, that of a hog, so that he could eat stool and think that he is enjoying life. After leaving this body, the man who maintains himself and his family members by sinful activities suffers a hellish life, and his relatives suffer also. So what's going on here is there very strong condemnation and criticism of those who live materialistic lives thinking that the purpose of their existence is just to maintain their family. Their whole consciousness is focused on their family like that. So what the Bhagavatam is telling us is that we shouldn't be like this at all. We shouldn't be like this and use our life in this way. Rather, we should be frightened of misusing the opportunity of human life. And this point comes up, will come up very wonderfully in the next chapter. We shouldn't at all wish to misuse the opportunity we have, because no one wants to suffer. And rather, we should advance in taking shelter of Krishna, which will award us eternal life of bliss and knowledge, as we've been speaking about. Prabhupada explains in his purport to this, the mistake of modern civilization is that man does not believe in the next life. But whether he believes or not, the next life is there. And one has to suffer if one does not lead a responsible life in terms of the injunctions of the authoritative scriptures like the Vedas and Puranas. Species lower than human beings are not responsible for their actions because they are made to act in a certain way. But in the developed life of human consciousness, if one is not responsible for his activities, then he is sure to get a hellish life as described herein. Text 31. He goes alone to the darkest region of hell after quitting the present body. He goes alone. He doesn't take his family members with him. And the money he acquired by envying other living entities is the passage money with which he leaves this world. Prabhupada's purport. When a man earns money by unfair means and maintains his family and himself with that money, the money is enjoyed by many members of the family, but he alone goes to hell. A person who enjoys life by earning money or by envying another's life, and who enjoys with family and friends, will have to enjoy alone the resultant sinful reactions accrued from such violent and illicit life. For example, if a man secures some money by killing someone, and with that money maintains his family, those who enjoy the black money earned by him are also partially responsible and are also sent to hell. But he who is the leader is especially punished. The result of material enjoyment is that one takes with him the sinful reactions only and not the money. The money he earned is left in this world and he takes only the reaction. Thus, text 32, by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the maintainer of kinsmen is put into a hellish condition to suffer for his sinful activities, like a man who has lost his wealth. He suffers like a man who has lost his wealth. Prabhupada explains what that means in his purport. The example set herein is that a sinful person suffers just like a man who has lost his wealth. The human form of body is achieved by the conditioned soul after many, many births, and it is a very valuable asset. Dhulam bhagavatani ha tarappa dhruva martadam, that there is a great wealth or a great value in this human life. We can actually taste real honey in this life, eternal honey, real nectar. But it is not possible while our attachments are all to the temporary, because the two do not work conjointly. We cannot be attached to Maya and Krishna any more than we can, at the same time, any more than we can start a fire and pour water on it at the same time. So on one hand, we have to break our attachments to Maya, to thinking that we can, by some arrangement, enjoy in this world. We have to break those attachments. We have to in the sense of it's in our interest to do so. Because if we're holding on to material enjoyment, how will we hold on tightly to spiritual? The spiritual life and the principles of spiritual life. So these type of sections of the Bhagavatam, and actually when you think about it, most of the Bhagavatam isn't hellfire and brimstone like this. But these sections are required to tell us no, to convince us that it is not in our interest that we pursue a materialistic path, that we should leave it and become very, very attached to Krishna. Very attached to Krishna. And even if we have material attachments, if we become very, very attached to Krishna, they will be minimized. But we still have to be careful. That material attachment will loosen. But yet we still have to be careful. This will be described in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam with Maharaj Rishabhdev. Because the mind, he says, is like a wild animal. When you have captured a wild animal and controlling it, you may keep it for years. But soon as you open the door, it will fly, it will run. So the mind is like that. That's how it describes. Until one is really exalted and is spontaneously in love with Krishna, one has to be careful. So these sections of the Bhagavatam are very handy, even though they're not very tasty in one sense. They're very handy to remind us of the what happens if we give up the practices of Krishna consciousness and just act like materialists. Therefore, the next to last verse in the chapter says, a person who is very eager to maintain his family and kinsmen simply by black methods certainly goes to the darkest region of hell, which is known as Anda Tamisra. Prabhupada's purport. Three words in this verse are very significant. Kevalena means only by black methods. Adamena means unrighteous or irreligious. And Kutumba Bharana means family maintenance. Maintaining one's family is certainly the duty of a householder. But one should be eager to earn his livelihood by the prescribed method, as stated in the scriptures. So there are honest ways to maintain oneself, and one should do that. So these are the results for dishonest activities. In Bhagavad Gita, it is described that the Lord has divided the social system into four classifications of castes or varnas according to quality and work. Apart from Bhagavad Gita, in every society, a man is known according to his quality and work. For example, when a man is constructing wooden furniture, he is called a carpenter. And a man who works with an anvil and iron is called a blacksmith. Similarly, a man who is engaged in the medical or engineering fields has a particular duty and designation. All these human activities have been divided by the Supreme Lord into four varnas, namely Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra. In Bhagavad Gita and in other literatures, the specific duties of the Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishyas, and Sudras are mentioned. Just like in contemporary civilization, in modern civilization, if one is a MD or what is it, MBBS or something, or a doctor, medical doctor, there are rules of conduct that one has to follow to be known as a doctor. So the concept of vanashrama, of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra with prescribed duties isn't foreign, actually. It isn't foreign to us. Because it's just natural that it's prescribed. So Krishna has arranged this. Chattavana Maya Srisham Gunakam Vibhagasya. He has arranged this system. So one should work honestly according to his qualification. He should not earn his livelihood unfairly by means which he is not qualified. If a Brahmana who works as a priest so that he may enlighten his followers with the spiritual way of life is not qualified as a priest, then he is cheating the public. One should not earn by such unfair means. The same is applicable to a Kshatriya or a Vaishya. It is especially mentioned that the means of livelihood of those who are trying to advance in Krishna consciousness must be very fair and uncomplicated. Very fair and uncomplicated. Here it is mentioned that he who earns his livelihood by unfair means, Kevalena, is sent to the darkest hellish region. Otherwise, if one maintains his family by prescribed methods and honest means, there is no objection to one's being a family man. And the final verse in the chapter. Having gone through all the miserable hellish conditions, and having passed in a regular order through the lowest forms of animal life prior to human birth, and having thus been purged of his sins, one is reborn again as a human being on this earth. So after, maybe it could be like thousands and thousands of years, thousands and thousands and thousands of years, then one again has an opportunity as a human being. Purport. Just as a prisoner who has undergone troublesome prison life is set free again, the person who has always engaged in impious and mysterious activities is put into hellish conditions. And when he has undergone different hellish lives, namely those of lower animals like cats, dogs, and hogs, by the gradual process of evolution, he again comes back as a human being. It can be concluded, this is skipping a little, it can be concluded that if someone is not willing to enter into hellish life, as in Tamizra or under Tamizra, then he must take to the process of Krishna consciousness, which is the first class yoga system. Because even if one is unable to attain complete Krishna consciousness in this life, he is guaranteed at least to take his next birth in a human family. He cannot be sent into a hellish condition. Krishna consciousness is the purest life, and it protects all human beings from gliding down to hell to take birth in a family of dogs or hogs. That's in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, 30th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Description by Lord Kapila of Adverse Fruit of Activities. So he's the soul, after suffering in those ways, takes his birth again after many, many, many years as a human being again. Then what happens? Then what happens? Has he learned anything? Now, this verse describes the next stage of suffering. It quickly went over the working out of one's karma by being in animal bodies. Didn't really mention that. But then, after so long, one is placed in a human womb, which is another type of suffering which will be described. And then tomorrow we'll read how the embryo, the unborn child within the womb, he becomes conscious, and he's able to pray. Sometimes this happens, that he realizes what's happened to him. He realizes what has happened to him, and he doesn't want to make those same mistakes again. He becomes conscious. So this being conscious is a great gift of Krishna. And that gift of Krishna, that comes by the mercy of spiritual master, by Prabhupada's mercy, by the mercy of Shastra, by the mercy of sadhus. They wake us up to the fact that life actually has a purpose, and we become when one is conscious and understands these things, then one comes to a crossroad in one's life. And it's not that one comes to the crossroad once only, but then with consciousness means awareness. With consciousness, one can become aware. If we are unconscious, we cannot become aware. So with consciousness, we can become aware. And with awareness, we have freedom. We can make choices. Do we want to go this way or we want to go that way? So here in the Bhagavatam, we are, by the mercy of Prabhupada, we are being made aware of choices that we have to make. And of course, the Bhagavatam is telling us, and Prabhupada is telling us in such strong words, don't choose wrongly, use your human life properly. What a valuable thing this human life is. With this human life, we don't know what it means. We forget the depth of what it means. Back to Godhead means with Krishna. And with Krishna means that Krishna, that all-attractive person, we have an awake relationship with him. And he is all-attractive. He is the satisfaction or connection with him is the satisfaction for the soul that everyone is truly longing for. Practically speaking, we cannot imagine what it's like in the spiritual world. Actually speaking, we can say that any loving experience that we have experienced in this world, or any pleasure that we have experienced in this world, if we multiply that by millions and billions, that is something like the spiritual world. Any time we felt truly alive, and what a wonderful day was, when the flowers are blooming or something, and walking through the fields. Well, think about a time when think about the time when you were the most happy in this world, in this life, with someone that you loved, or something, or doing something. Usually it's when we were a lot younger than we are now. When we are idealistic and dreaming it's going to go on forever like this. But actually it will go on forever, something like that, but times billions. If we purify our consciousness. And what the sadhus, the Vaishnavas are trying to tell us, it's worth it. We should do this. We should make choices consciously. Consciously make choices to take shelter of Krishna. And we read earlier, just maybe was it two or three weeks ago, we read earlier that one should serve Krishna with one's body, mind, and words. But even just desiring that, even if one can't actually do that, but just by desiring that, one will be liberated. Because again, it's the consciousness will become molded in a particular way. And if we desire material enjoyment, the consciousness will be molded in that way, and we will get a suitable body to give us that type of enjoyment. And then we have to pay. So we should become conscious of the choices that we have to make in our life. We should become aware of the weight of the choices. It's in our own interest. And we should make our decisions accordingly, according to what we think is wisest. So if we can't immediately become exalted lovers of Krishna, just by desiring that sincerely and continuously, even if we're not able to come up to the standard, but with sincere desires in that direction, only good can come from that. Because ultimately we are dependent on Krishna's mercy anyway. So after this, we'll read one. No, we won't read any more. Okay, thank you very much. Any questions or comments?
One definition of sinful activities is that there isn't Krishna conscious.
Yeah.
But another context is said that what to act apart from one's own nature. Like in the Varnashram system, if one acts contrary to his nature.
Or another way of looking at that is not only contrary to one's nature, but contrary to the prescribed duties born of one's nature. That is actually the Vedic definition of sin. So sinful activity is any activity contrary to what we should be doing, because that will bring a reaction.
So we're taking the Krishna consciousness, then we accept the prescribed duties? Or?
Of course, Krishna, taking to Krishna consciousness is different from those kind of prescribed duties. But, there are prescribed duties in Krishna consciousness and we should follow them. It's in our interest. It's all voluntary in that sense. And if we're not able to follow everything perfectly, and in one sense no one is able to follow everything perfectly, what we should do is at least move forward and use our life properly. We should try to go forward, put effort into those practices. There's one verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Duruhad Bhutta Viryes Min Shraddha Dure Astu Panjake Salpa Asya Api Sambande Bhava Saddhyam Bhava Janmaye. This means that the practices, especially this Panchanga Bhakti of Saru Sangha, associating with devotees, Namakirtan, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavata Shravan, Mathura Vas, and Sri Murtira Shraddhaya Sevana, and worshipping the deity, living in a holy place. They're so powerful. So the verse says, Duruhad Bhutta Viryas Min. It says they are wonderful. They are virya. They are powerful. These five practices, Duruhad Bhutta Viryas Min, Shraddha Dure, even if one doesn't have faith in them, even if one's faith is far, these five are so powerful. Salpa, even if one performs them a little bit, they are so powerful that an intelligent person, satdiyam, an intelligent person who does not make offenses, who doesn't offend, especially offend the Vaishnavas, bhava janmaye, love for Krishna will give birth, will arise within his heart. And do we have to perform all of them and be perfect like that? No. Eka anga sade, even if one executes eka anga, one of these, keha sade bahu anga, or if one executes all of them, nishta hoila upajai, if one is fixed in his devotion and does that, premera taranga. What does premera taranga mean? What is taranga? One will be buffeted around by the waves of love for Krishna. One will surf those waves. That's the perfect wave. So how powerful. These are wonderful. Sakal sadhana sreshta e panchanga. That out of all the different practices of prescribed in Bhakti Yoga, sakal sadhana sreshta e panchanga, they're so powerful that that prema will come just by performing them. So although we are so fallen, at least I can speak for myself, so fallen, have so little taste, what do I have taste for? There's so many material things that's come to my mind. I want to enjoy. I want to be the center of existence like that. So many horrible things just, you know, festering in my heart. But yet, if we can just get up a little enough strength and direction to
to take some shelter of hearing the Bhagavatam, of associating with devotees, especially devotees more advanced. This is what sadhu sangha is. And sajjatiya ashase, that one should associate with people who have a similar taste to we have, and sadhu sangha, and associate with devotees, hear Bhagavatam, people have a similar taste, and associate with devotees, and thereby, and worship the deity. There's a nice verse that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj says about how to worship the deity. Not just twirl incense. Not like that. But he says, Shraddha, with great faith. Shraddha Vishesha Priti, with great faith and love. Sri Murtira Angri Sevane, one should worship the lotus feet of the deity with great faith, with particularly with great faith and love. So a very nice process that's very powerful. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So tomorrow we will hear the living entity goes into the womb and begins his suffering. And then he's conscious, he becomes aware. And then he prays. Now, this intrigued me before I studied this. I watched it coming. Just imagine, he's aware of this suffering that he's gone through. And he doesn't want to do it again. So he's in the womb and he prays. He's aware, he's conscious, he prays. Now, the nature of those prayers, very interesting. What does he pray for? So we'll hear that tomorrow. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.